One of the greatest unsolved mysteries of our universe is whether it's even real. While it may intuitively seem to be, after all, we do live in and interact with reality our entire lives, the truth is that the matter is far more complicated than you might think. In fact, it's so complicated that science itself cannot rule out that this universe may not exist at all. To take it a step further, it's completely possible that this is all a computer simulation. The idea that the universe isn't real isn't a new one. In fact, it's very old. All religions are, to varying extents, based on the idea that this is all a simulation of sorts created by a deity. That idea began to move into the realm of science and philosophy with René Descartes' evil demon concept. Descartes said that if you were possessed by a demon, you could never quite be sure that you weren't being deceived by it into thinking that the world around you was something that it wasn't. An updated version of that concept goes like this. Your brain is entirely dependent on sensory input. Your eyes, ears, sense of touch, taste, and smell all determine how your brain perceives the universe around it. But there's a catch. Senses may not always tell the truth as optical illusions show us. As a result, if you could trick all five senses at the same time, you could make a person believe in something that isn't reality. This is called the brain in a vat thought experiment and is the philosophical concept that underlies the Matrix series of movies. The idea is that if your brain was in a jar being fed sensory information with electrodes, you would live in virtual reality forever, never knowing that there was an entire other real universe outside. But that's not the only possible way that the universe could be a fake. There is also the intriguing possibility that we are really artificial intelligences embedded inside a computer simulation. While this may sound outlandish, it's actually not, and there are several aspects of our universe that might even hint that all is not as it seems. Enough so that none other than Neil deGrasse Tyson threw his towel in the ring at the recent 2016 Isaac Asimov Memorial debate, saying that he would not be surprised in the least if this were all a simulation. One potential indicator of a simulation is the phenomenon of quantum wave function collapse. In nature, subatomic particles can exist in different states. They can have different energies or move at different speeds, but in quantum mechanics, particles are thought of as existing in all possible states at the same time, including existing in two places at once, until you look at them. Then they choose a state to exist in. Yes, that's right. You can change the behavior of a subatomic particle just by looking at it. Its quantum wave function collapses the moment you look at it because when it's observed, its actual position becomes known and it's no longer a matter of probability, but of reality. In such a state of affairs, is the universe really there when you aren't looking at it? Well, in a sense, no, it's not. Into the rabbit hole we go. You may be thinking that this is all crazy hogwash, but think again. The phenomena of quantum superpositions and wave function collapses are scientifically observable. The experiments can be repeated time and time again, and they always yield the same result. A famous example of this is the double slit experiment. The way the experiment is set up is that a piece of paper with two slits in it is set up a few feet in front of a wall. Then we fire a beam of photons at the piece of paper one by one. When the experiment isn't being measured, i.e. looked at, then on the far wall we see an interference pattern like you would get if you had an ocean wave passing through the slits. But once you put detectors on either side of the paper and measure it, the interference pattern disappears and you see only two bars of light. This is because by looking at the photons, we have collapsed their wave function and forced them to either go through one slit or the other. While this is all perfectly scientific, it also shows that observation is an integral part of our universe despite it being counterintuitive and, well, just plain weird. What does this point to? What is the nature of a universe that doesn't quite exist when you're not looking at it? I can't say. And that leads us out of the rabbit hole entirely and into someplace else. Nature may, and I very much stress the word may, actually need conscious minds to perceive it in order for it to exist at all. Physicist and Nobel Prize winner Eugene Wigner proposed this very thing in the 1960s. He argued that quantum wave function collapse required more than just an observer, but a conscious one, and without one, the wave functions of the universe would never collapse. At that point, the universe is simply a place where it's not possible for anything to happen, and the only things that can exist are quantum superpositions. He then took this even further and suggested a line of consciousnesses observing each other all the way up to some sort of universal consciousness somehow observing itself into existence. While contentious and still very much disputed, this was all backed with more than just woo, but actual physics. Crackpot, Wigner was not. Did he misinterpret? Well, the current consensus is that he probably did. But current consensuses can be wrong. But what of us being artificial intelligences embedded in a simulation, you ask? Well, the answer to that may lie in a modern philosophical thought experiment similar to the brain in a vat concept. The Matrix and being a brain in a vat is an interesting thought experiment, but not a very likely one. I mean, really, using humans as batteries? There are far better batteries out there than us. However, when you consider that we may be some sort of artificially intelligent sub-function embedded in a computer simulation, things become really creepy. And even more creepy, it may not just be possible for this to be so, but even probable. That idea comes down to a thought experiment that philosopher Nick Bostrom of Oxford University has developed that may shed some light on whether or not we live in a simulation. His argument is simple. One of three things must be true. Number one, humans never reach a level of technology that allows us to produce simulated realities, or the computers needed to create such realities are so complex that they cannot be physically constructed. Number two, any civilization that gains the ability to simulate the universe simply doesn't go through with it, either due to it costing too much in energy or ethical considerations over holding artificially intelligent entities captive in a simulated reality. Number three, we almost certainly live in a simulation. Statistically speaking, it's overwhelmingly likely that we do not live in the original, real universe. So much so, the odds are astronomical. That's certainly food for thought, and somewhat hard to shoot down when you think about it. And it begs a question. If this is a simulation, then who created it? Personally, I'm not sure I want to know. Could it be that there really is a creator of some sort? Could all religions have been pre-programmed into the system by the great God programmer and thusly are all simultaneously valid? As a science-minded guy, those questions make my head hurt. I think I'll take the blue pill, please. Interestingly enough, there may be a way to scientifically test whether we live in a simulation or not. There's always been talk in physics that it does seem rather weird that certain fundamental values in the universe happen to just be right for life to exist. Well, that may just be due to the possibility that an almost infinite number of parallel universes exist, and we just happen to be the one that's just right. There's also the possibility that there's just one universe, and the values just happen to be perfect. The problem is that the odds of that are, again, astronomical. But there's a deeper level than that. While we don't know if this is all a simulation or not, we do know that if someone were to create such a simulation, it has to follow certain rules. There has to be some sort of structure to it, an underlying lattice that holds it all together. At its smallest scale, the simulation must have a bottom line in the same way of how a television works. If you look at a television from a distance, you see a picture that conveys an overall message. You see a movie with an unfolding story before you. But if you look very closely and hit mute, you only see pixels and can't tell what the overall movie is about. The pixels are the limit to a television's ability to create a story, or a universe, for you. The universe may work the same way. At some infinitely small point, we should be able to see the universe's pixels. Scientists such as Silas Bean and his colleagues suspect that we may be able to do just that by studying the behavior of cosmic rays. Cosmic rays lose energy and change direction as they propagate. However, we know how much energy those particles have. The odd thing is that when you look at it, the whole thing might be consistent with the kind of thing you would expect to see if there was an underlying lattice governing the behavior of the universe. While not yet proven or studied deeply, we might be able to tell if this is a simulation by determining just how cosmic rays scatter. If it really does end up being consistent with a simulation, then things will get very interesting indeed. But we could also be misinterpreting things. Much scientific study is needed before any conclusions can be drawn from this approach. Another way of thinking about all of this is to think of it as a video game. A video game is just a mathematical construct, a program that can be described through mathematics. Oddly enough, the universe can also be described with mathematics. Does that mean we live in God's video game? Possibly. Can we someday learn to hack the universe? Maybe, it's certainly an interesting thought, but then one has to ask, if we go trying to game the system and we figure out what we really are, then whomever created the simulation may simply choose to shut it down. Not good for us. But there's a problem with the whole thing. As cosmologist Max Tegmark points out, if we do live in a simulation, then someday we will create a simulation of our own, and then our simulated universe will create a simulation and so on, leading to huge numbers of simulations running within simulations, perhaps even infinitely so, and that would take infinite computing power. Could there be such a thing that allows infinite computing power? Seems highly unlikely. Maybe as Freud may or may not have said, a cigar is sometimes just a cigar, and our universe is real, and that's that. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for in-depth, regular explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live. Or do we? My head hurts.